We come with questions. We come with ideas. We come with confusion. We come with doubt. We come with hope. We come with hunger. We come with need. We come together to worship. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. And for more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC Natick as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front where kids can sit and play. We have lovingly staffed nursery care, and we have Sunday school after the word for all ages this morning. A few important announcements coming up. We have the Festival Community Concert coming up next Saturday at 7 o'clock. This is when we are inviting the community in to see our renovated space, both in the sanctuary and the kitchen. So please join us next Saturday, October 5th at 7. Tonight, September 29th at 5 o'clock, we are sharing the documentary, Where Can We Live in Peace? Filmmaker Judy Jackson is with us this morning. Judy, it is so wonderful to have you with us, and all are invited tonight. This is in person only, 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary. This morning after worship, I'm gonna have a little sermon talk back for those who are interested in the chat room. So that's right off the vestry. So after worship, if you want, you can grab a cup of coffee and a snack and meet me in the chat room. I'll try to like walk through the vestry and let you know when I'm heading into that room. Because this fall at FCC Natick, we are building the beloved community. We'll ground ourselves in an image of the world the way God intended it to be. We'll create glimpses of that world when we are together, and we'll grow our capacity for bringing that world to life. For those of us who are feeling anxious in this election season, may this be a time together that gives us strength, hope, and peace. This morning, we are thinking about how we talk to each other and what sort of communication will help us build the beloved community. So as we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Karen. Please join me in the call to worship in the bulletin and on your screen. In a divided and despairing world,
we will proclaim God's hope.
Where there is injustice and inequality,
we will proclaim God's justice.
When people feel invisible and broken,
we will proclaim God's compassion.
Everywhere and all the time,
proclaim God's love.
Our opening hymn is Living God, Your Joyful Spirit. You're invited to rise in body or spirit.
Thank you.
Our centering prayer this morning includes words by Joseph M. Cherry in his prayer for living intention. So let's take a moment of quiet to be aware of where we feel tension in our relationships, in our activities, in our very bodies. Let's invite God into those tense places. Let us pray. God who pursues justice as well as peace, if we have any hope of transforming the world and changing ourselves, we must be bold enough to step into our discomfort, brave enough to be clumsy there, loving enough to forgive ourselves and others. May we as a people of faith be granted the strength to be so bold, so brave, and so loving. As we witness in the stories of the life of Jesus, who also gave us these words to pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I glimpse you from afar and I'm suspicious.
I cannot understand you and it makes me afraid.
What if we are too different?
What if you don't care about me?
I can't imagine we have anything to share.
I'm not sure I'm willing to open myself to a conversation.
Wait. Breathe. Let the anxiety take a break for just a moment. Breathe again. We are not alone. God is with us. Let us take a deep breath together. The rhythm of our breath and heartbeat is the same. Our desire for life and love is the same. Our desire for a peace with justice is the same. Let this moment fill our souls as we pass God's peace between us. The peace is meant for all people. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the first letter of Peter. This letter, written to early Christian churches, was traditionally believed to have been written by the disciple Peter, who denied Jesus before his death, and then became the Bishop of Rome for the early Christian movement. Scholars say this letter was most likely not actually written by Peter, but seeks to copy his style. Whoever the author was, the churches they were writing to were under a lot of stress. They were being persecuted for their beliefs. And when people are under stress, sometimes they aren't their best selves. Peter wanted to remind them of how followers of the way are supposed to act. By the way, the letter quotes part of Psalm 34. Hear these words from the third chapter of Peter's letter. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay it with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. For those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil, their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and God's ears are open to their prayer. These are our sacred letters. May we have the vision and wisdom to hear them.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. We're kind of, I don't know where these people are this morning. I think they're all sleeping in, so they'll be ready for the movie this afternoon. This is one of those things where I'm gonna need your help. Thank you, Jeff. If you think that's all you have to do, you are sadly mistaken. There will be more tasks for you, Jeff, because I need at least 6 volunteers. I need them to be adults, and they have to be willing to, you know, potentially end up on camera. So let's start with 3. I need 3 people. Come on forward. So long ago, there was a church. Give me 3 people to come pretend to be the church. All right, look at this. Look at these. It's a fabulous church. Woo! All right, the 3 of you. Come on, Kirsten, you come forward too. So the 3 of you, like, pretend to be a church, like, looking at each other. Like, look at each other. Okay, good, good. You guys look at each other. Okay, so, but, you know, it wasn't a church. Keep looking at each other. It wasn't a church like we might think of today. There wasn't a building. There wasn't an organ. There wasn't a minister. They were people meeting in a home, thinking about Jesus' teachings, focusing on God. But there were other people outside the church that didn't understand them. So I need 3 other people at least to come be the people that didn't understand them. Come on, Jeff, this is why you came forward. I got, look at this, I got Rob, come on, look at this, all right. Thank you, Dee Dee. Okay, so church people, you come be in the middle. 3 of you, like, you know, face each other like a triangle. And now we've got other people on the outside, right, who don't understand what they're doing. And you think, not only do you not understand, you think that what they, okay, but quietly, church, but you don't. You think you're worried that what they're doing is really wrong, that it might be evil. So, like, surround that church. Go ahead. Now, without actually touching them or yelling at them, Robin, how might you pretend to be yelling at somebody? Okay? And how might you pretend to be bullying them? Again, don't actually touch them. But if you were, yeah, okay, right? And Robin, if Robin's going to bully somebody, she's going to smile at them while she's pushing them. Okay. Now, of course, this was really upsetting to the church people, right?
Sure.
How about other people watching? Wouldn't you be upset if you were in the middle and other people were yelling at you and poking at you, even while smiling at you? Maybe especially it would be irritating to have people poking at you while smiling at you. So the people in the church, they feel sad and hurt, right?
Right, yes.
Okay. Work with me, people. Then the bullies go away. You may be seated, bullies, but church, you stay right there. So, but the bullies went away, but the church people long ago, look at, okay. I love that, but that's not where I'm going. All right. So the church people, they've had all these people yelling at them and poking at them. So what do you think they might do? Yes, they've showed us one option. They might be like, oh, we need to take care of each other and lean on each other. What else might they do? They could, oh, they're finger pointing. Some people could take their ball and go home. They're quitting. Do you think you might start like, oh, and you might point your fingers back. Do you think you might point fingers at each other? Do you think you might like smile and poke at each other like Robin did? Oh, you might play Miriam. Exactly. So a friend sent them a letter and said, stop it. Stop doing that. The friend said, I know you were hurting because of what those bullies did, but don't hurt each other. Okay, thank you, church. You can be seated. Can we clap for church and bullies? Yeah. Do you think that is the last time that ever happened? No. Especially my young people, maybe at home. Do you think your mom or dad has ever been a little grumpy with you, and it was kind of because they maybe had a bad day at work? Yeah. Have you ever had a hard day at school or work, and then come home and been grumpy with the people who are at home? Yeah. It's like we keep passing all these hard feelings on to each other. We just pass them along. Wouldn't it be better if somehow we could just get rid of those feelings before they hurt somebody else? Any ideas? You could write something down. That's such a good idea, right? And even if you're like, I hate people, right? You're putting it on the paper, right? What else could you do besides write something down? You could go for a walk. You could get some exercise. Because when we get that exercise going, that helps us work through those feelings. Any other ideas? Think about it. Oh, I like this. You could think about it and throw it away. You could start to think about maybe some stuff that might have happened and maybe want to make sure you really understand what's going on. Could you talk to anybody? There might be somebody. Could you talk to your pastor? Yeah. Y'all want my cell phone? If you don't have it in your phone by now, you should. These are all great ideas. Here's my favorite. Are you ready for it? I'm going to see if you can guess my favorite. Can everyone guess my favorite? I do like the talking to the people. So my favorite, though, is to breathe. I know, aren't you sick? It's been a year. Aren't you sick of me saying, okay, we're all going to breathe. Let's try that right now. Oh, wait, not yet. Don't breathe yet. Breathe normally. So scientists have all these reasons why deep breathing is important, how it helps calm your brain and your heart and your whole body. That is so helpful. It is so helpful that science is saying breathing is good for you, and that it helps calm your mind and your body and your circumstances. Here at church, we talk about how our breath is part of God's spirit, so that when we breathe deeply, no matter what happens, we're feeling our connection to God. So when we breathe, I believe God can help us let go of some of those hard feelings that we're carrying. All right, so we're almost ready to practice. So let's say you go to school and you don't understand what's happening in class. Remember, this is the word for all ages. So you go to school and you don't understand what's happening in class. You're feeling frustrated, but you don't want to dump that frustration on your dog. You need hope that you'll understand better tomorrow. So you can breathe in all that frustration and then breathe out hope. Let's do it one more time. Breathe in all that frustration and then breathe out hope. Or maybe you had a fight with your best friend. You're feeling mad. But you don't want to dump it all on your dad. You need peace that you'll work it out tomorrow. You can breathe in all that mad and then breathe out peace. One more time. Breathe in all that mad and breathe out peace. Amazing. Keep breathing in and out as our young people get ready for Sunday school, and we'll keep breathing as we send you off with a blessing. Breath of life, bless your beautiful and beloved children, no matter what this week or their whole lives brings this way. May they feel your presence as close as their own breath, and your love as steady as their own heartbeat. Amen. Amen. Our second reading this morning is called A Prayer for Our Bodies This Election Cycle. Hear these words by Aaron Weber Johnson. Oh God, here I am again. In years past, I confess, I grew addicted to the adrenaline rushing through my body, capturing my attention, emboldening me in flashes of self-righteousness. Now political news feels like fire burning through my veins, destroying me from the inside out, making it difficult to move or think, imagine. We were created for more than reaction, response, for the collection of power. We can create more than what this moment tells us is possible. Dear God, I remember you love us. Remind me what is left after there has been scorched earth. How life can be made new with oxygen, by breath and blood and bodies. May our attention inhabit that which calls up creation to leave traces of love. Amen. So many years ago, I was dealing with a lot of conflict at work. It wasn't between parishioners, but the neighbors were unhappy with all of the rentals going on at the church. If you want the scoop, reach out to me after. The neighbors were coming at us with lawyers and letters and lots of meetings. It was constant, stressful, and exhausting. And the cracks were starting to show. I remember one day I picked up my young kids from after school. I brought them home. I got dinner started and did just a quick check of my email. There was a new round of attacks. I finished reading just as the timer went off on the pasta. I returned to the kitchen where my kids were fooling around rather than doing their chores. And what did I do? I yelled at them. Now, should they have been doing their chores? Yes, they should have been doing their chores. But let's be honest, the real issue was my reacting to the email from the neighbors. They were dumping a lot of stuff on me, and I turned right around and dumped it on my kids. I took responsibility and apologized and made the commitment that I could no longer check email when I was around my children. It was too easy for the stress to bubble over and burn them. In this time of toxic polarization, I fear we have not developed the skills we need to hold and discuss differences. I have this list of communication best practices, stuff that I've learned over the years, largely through my own screw-ups. I've got copies with me this morning. It's probably just a refresher for most of you. But since we are flooded day after day with horrific examples of communication, maybe a reset would be useful. Now, Some of you may have just decided to tune me out. If I'm going to talk about why we should listen, how we can communicate better with those across differences, why in these days of toxic polarization do we need to have good communication skills? Sure, we're supposed to follow Jesus and all that. But no matter what side of any topic you are on, the other side is clearly not only wrong, but potentially evil. So why do we need to communicate with them? Yeah, I think exactly. Jeff, I think it goes back to this morning's scripture reading and me yelling at my kids. Whether we directly engage or not with people with whom we disagree, we are living in an atmosphere of division that is poisoning us all. We can't help but take it in. And if we don't do something with it, that poison will come out in ways that hurt us all, including the most vulnerable people in our midst. So if you'd like a copy of my communication commandments, I'd be happy to share with you and discuss further, including after worship today. It includes all the greatest hits, like using I statements and avoiding words like always and never. But this morning, I'm going to focus on just three practices. Especially in this election season, as we seek to build the beloved community, maybe these will help us keep what the letter allegedly written by Peter talked about, our evil tongues. Maybe it will help keep our evil tongues in check. Okay, so when you find yourself yelling back at the talking head on the news, when you notice you have to avoid casual conversation with certain coworkers, when you strain your thumbs texting a rebuttal to the relative on Facebook, maybe think about one of these. Did you just laugh? Yeah. Okay, the first is from living room conversations. Are folks familiar with living room conversations? I love this tool. This is a group that creates very user-friendly discussion guides on hot topics. They provide a framework for people with very different views to speak and hear each other. In particular, the guides encourage people to share firsthand experiences, the deeper source of a political conviction. Just what Janine was talking about, you know, when we were in the Word for All Ages, and you were like, think about what might have been going on behind all that. But we don't have to be using a living room discussion guide to employ this approach. When we hear something we don't agree with, we can, like in the godly play classes, give ourselves room to wonder. I wonder how they came to that understanding is a better internal question than why are they so stupid? So when you hear yourself asking internally, why are they so stupid, you could maybe alternatively try, I wonder how they came to that understanding. Should we say that out loud? Should we practice? I wonder how they came to that understanding. There's a lot of eye rolling at me in this part of the room. All right. I think that starting with curiosity rather than judgment gives us an opportunity to learn more. Remember that we have all had experiences that have shaped our perspectives, so what experiences might have been theirs? Extra points if you decide to actually ask them. Second practice. So I was reading a blog from a Methodist colleague about how to stay cool during this election season. She emphasized checking the facts. She writes, just because someone repeats a talking point or says it louder than others doesn't mean it's necessarily true. Amen, yeah. We all love the fact-checking, but I think it's particularly important that we check the facts that we agree with. We know how confirmation bias works. We are drawn to information that is consistent with our existing beliefs. We get so frustrated when they repeat claims that have no basis in reality, but are we totally sure we aren't doing the same? And then here's the rough thing about check your facts. I'm not sure how much facts matter. This was put rather eloquently by a Unitarian Universalist colleague who wrote, "We are slowly realizing that truth and accurate information are not very compelling." She was responding to interviews that she'd read with QAnon followers. What became clear was that folks who got sucked into conspiracy theory groups were looking for belonging, value, and meaning. Arguments about facts missed the point completely. So we need to check the facts upon which our own convictions are based, but also recognize that often facts are just superficial coverage for urgent emotional needs. Maybe if we grew in our understanding of those emotional needs and sought to address those needs rather than debating facts, we might make some progress. But what sort of progress? Is our goal to change people's minds so everyone agrees with us? Or grow in understanding and connection? This is the third practice. Okay, my first church, there was occasionally conflict between me and the other pastor. Less than in most teams, but it happened. During one difficult time, I met with a professional supervisor for some clarification and feedback. I told her the whole nine yards, everything this pastor had done and was doing wrong, which was real, and how I was going to enlighten them. And she asked me, "What's your motive?" Well, in all honesty, my motive was to make him feel bad about what he'd done. So then she asked me, "Do you want that to be your motive in your communications with them?" I guess not. So now I try to regularly check my motive for communicating, especially when I have strong feelings or in the face of conflict. Am I communicating to support, to connect, to clarify? Am I communicating to punish, to hurt, to flex my power? If my motive is to make the other person look ignorant or evil, does that align with my values? And if my motive is to change somebody's mind, good luck. So three practices in the face of conflict. Wonder, and even ask, what experience has led to someone's perspective? Check your facts, but also remember, facts often don't matter. And be clear about your own motives. Remember the word for all ages? The early church was being persecuted and then unleashed that poison on each other, just like I did to my kids right after reading emails. When we are hurting, or getting yelled at, or surrounded by conflict, we don't stand much of a chance of using any good communication practices until first we are cared for in our pain. To the ancient church, Peter promised that God was with them, that God saw them, and God's ears were open to their prayer. Beloved, God is with you now and always, especially when you feel like you are drowning in the world's toxic conflict. But sometimes it's hard to sense God's presence in the face of all that noise. I believe that's part of why we come here, to ground ourselves in God's peace and connect with other people who are trying so hard to do the same. So that is our most important practice. Soak up God's love. If you're willing, I invite you to get comfortable. Stretch a little bit if you need to. At home, you too. Breathe deeper than usual. Maybe put your hands over your heart. Breathe. Close your eyes, if you so desire. Breathe. Beloved, you are connected to this community, and you are not alone. Breathe. God is with you in every moment, especially the hard ones. Breathe. No matter what is happening around you, you are beloved by God, just as you are. Breathe once more. Amen. Thank you. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. Just for this morning, we're going to share our joys and concerns in the midst of our prayer. So as we pray together, you'll be invited to lift up names and places and circumstances, including laying any that you have received via email. And after each concern or joy is named, I will call Living God, and we'll all respond. This is you at home as well. Hear our prayer. So when I say Living God, I invite you to respond. Hear our prayer. If you have further context you would like shared with the community, please give me a note after worship or email me, and I'll share it with our email prayer group, Praying Hands. And if you'd like to join Praying Hands, give me a note or email on that as well. Let us pray. Source of life and love, we are held together by your Spirit. What one of us celebrates brings joy to us all. What hurts one of us touches every heart. So coming together in prayer is a serious thing. A joining of our hearts and minds and spirits to have an impact on our own lives and on our world. Hear us as we lift up names and places and circumstances that we might share them with each other and with you. And hear the words we hold in our hearts, not quite ready to speak them aloud. With every breath, Living God, hear our prayer.
A joy from Bob Barker and Maureen Mann. Maureen's daughter, Carolyn, had a new baby girl last night.
Living God, hear our prayer. 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 For Amy C's brother-in-law, Steve, in serious condition following two heart attacks. Living God, hear our prayer. Living God, hear our prayer. Living God, hear our prayer. For Christine W.'s brother Tom, after facing a brain bleed and heart blockage, is moving to hospice. Living God, hear our prayer. Living God, hear our prayer. My sister, Living God, hear our prayer. God of love, we have heard each other, even when the words themselves have not been heard. We hear the beat of hearts, and we know we have been heard by you. We will hold each other, and we will be held by you. We will help heal each other, and so bring healing to your world. Amen. Yesterday, I attended a forum on Islamophobia at the Islamic Center of Boston in Wayland. There were sobering stories and statistics shared about the uptick in reports of harassment of Muslims, specifically in Massachusetts, and a lot of them happening to students in schools. But the best part was this panel of students, high school and college students, sharing their experiences of being targeted because of their faith. The reason it was the best part was because this panel, all young women, were dynamic and articulate speakers. In addition to hearing their painful stories about classmates calling them terrorists just as they walk by, we also learned about their leadership and activism, starting groups in their schools, and running for public office. These are amazing young women. Here's the thing. All three were wearing the hijab, the head covering associated with their faith. And a lot of the harassment that they experienced was gender specific, directly related to the hijab. And I noticed my own bias rising up as they spoke. Why was I so surprised that three women wearing hijabs would also be strong, articulate leaders? I attended yesterday's panel to continue making connections with the Muslim community in our area and to show my commitment as a pastor in the Christian tradition to fighting Islamophobia. It ended up also being an opportunity for me to face my own bias. Critical self-reflection for any interfaith work. All of that was made possible because of your financial contributions. It's because of your generosity that we can work on building bridges across differences, including the foundational work of understanding our own blinders. So thank you. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, with folks in person passing the plates to each other up and down the row, we also recommit ourselves to the long, hard work of interfaith understanding. God of abundance, bless these gifts and the ways in which they will be put to work in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is Help Us Accept Each Other. It's a little on the nose, probably, for a hymn title. It's just so you know, it's 376 in the hymnal, but it's not the tune that you will see on that page. It's hopefully a more familiar one called Aurelia. Beloved, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons. Honor all creation. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the love of God, the Spirit of Christ, and the power and communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen.